Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, June 18th, 2024. I am happy to be here today and I'm happy to have C.A. Brooks with me for our June 2024 Meeting of the Minds. We usually meet on the second Tuesday of the month, but for some strange reason, both Gracie and I ended up having our teeth cleaned today, or I should say appointments for having our teeth cleaned today. I dropped her off really early this morning at about 7:15, and then mine's a little later on after the show. But when I'm writing, when I'm, you know, without someone to talk to on the show, I am writing my show up until pretty much the minute that Jay calls me to start. So I figured this was the perfect week to have someone that would do half the talking at least. So I can just set up the show and we can go from there because we can talk a lot. So again, I'm just really excited to have CA on with me, and we always have a great discussion. We just do. We can just go for hours, I would think. But you are invited to be a part of that discussion. So please, if you can, join us in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. You can feel free to comment or ask questions in the chat room. We may or may not have time for readings today. We'll see how the conversation goes. But if you would like a reading from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. Usually available mid to later morning Pacific time into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I'm busy, just put in a callback request or schedule a call. I'm notified immediately and I will get back to you as soon as I possibly can. We have on 12listen.com reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week. This week we'll be celebrating the summer solstice on Thursday, the longest day of the year. Can you believe it? I mean, the year is half over. I mean, it's just honestly half over, and it's hard to believe. And that is, you know, the official beginning of summer. And so I switched my time-based session, my 15-minute time-based session, to a Celebrate Summer 15-minute TBS. That will be at a reduced rate for the day on the solstice, but that will be available then through the summer. And, you know, summer is the season. To me, summer, I have to say, is my least favorite season because I don't like heat. I just don't. I don't like to be hot. I'd rather have it be cloudy. Today was a beautiful day. It's been in the 90s for the past few days, which is really hot. And today it's in the 70s and it's cool. There's a cool breeze outside and cloudy, and the sun came out a little bit ago and I'm going, no, don't come out yet. Sun, don't come out. Keep the clouds, keep the cool. Because everything, you know, everything gets kind of fried when it's that hot, because it's very dry too. But anyway, that was a little bit of digression there. But summer is the time, is the season when things grow. So my time-based session, basically, as they all do, focuses on releasing limitation, releasing what's in the way of growth, of expansion, and most importantly, of just shining our light brighter, because that light is there. It is us. It is the soul, being, consciousness, life, and mind of us. It is source, that infinite self. So it is shining. Anything that's impeding that is something that can be released. So it's just a matter of looking at it and getting rid of it. And that's what the time-based session is about, to put it very simply. But as I said, we have specials a few times a week. And if you want to be notified of our reduced rate days, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And while you're there, you can post what you're grateful for on the gratitude board, which we moderate 24/7, the advisors at 12listen. And you can go to 12radio and grab, download an archive of any show in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. So, you know, the gratitude board and every show from every host is in the archives, in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. And those are ways that we can support you. So I encourage you to use them. And I just want to say thanks to Jay right now for producing the show today. And I am so happy to have CA with me. If you are not familiar with CA, she is a 1-2 listen advisor. She's a clairvoyant astrologer, animal communicator. She's an avid student of A Course in Miracles, among many other things. She also writes the Week Ahead section of the Power Peak, Mark Husson's weekly newsletter. She hosts Everyday Astrology here on 1-2 Radio, which immediately precedes Empowerment Live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific. And she has podcasts of her Course in Miracles show available in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. She's got a lot on her plate. Aside from all of that, she's got a lot on her plate. And so I always appreciate her joining me for our once-a-month talk. And so this is the day, this is the day. And I'll have CA join me in just a couple of minutes after I kind of start the show. And really, I just have a story to tell that is crazy. It's a crazy story. So I'm just going to tell it. Now, I talked about last week. I did a replay because of what I'm going to tell you about. But the week before that, I was talking about that my mom's house was finally not her. My brother and sister-in-law owned the house my mother lived in. It was finally under contract. The contract has a contingency, so we're not sure when it's going to close. But what I was talking about is my son, daughter-in-law, and my oldest granddaughter, Quinn, are coming a week from this Thursday to stay with me. And I didn't have any furniture for my guest room because all of my furniture was coming from my mother's guest room. And so we had to wait and find out if the contract was good. And if it was good and everything was, we had a closing date, then we could begin to move the furniture out of the house and just get it cleared, which it needed to be done anyway at some point, right? So anyway, I'm talking about that 2 weeks ago on Tuesday. And the contract that they took, as I said, has a contingency, but my brother and sister-in-law's agent and the agent for the buyer, they scrutinized it. It's priced right and it should sell. It's in a good part of town. And so, my brother and sister-in-law were willing to do it. Plus, this lady she's an older lady and she just fell in love with the house. And we all thought that was kind of cool. The house that my mother lived in for 10 years by herself, an older lady, and backyard is good for having gardens and she said this woman just absolutely fell in love with it. So they took the gamble, and I think it'll work out. But she was talking to the agent and said, "Look, we got to get the furniture out of here because Susan's managing, my sister-in-law's managing, I don't know how many other projects." So they said, "Go ahead." And the realtor said, if for some reason this contract does fall through, she would pay to have the house staged again. So that was a huge sigh of relief. So that afternoon, after my show, I get a call from my sister-in-law saying, what are the things that you wanted out of the house? We can move it out now. And so that was great, but I didn't know how that was going to happen, So the next day, my aunt and uncle, the Tuesday, or I'm sorry, the show was Tuesday. I find out Tuesday afternoon. Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock, I met my sister-in-law and my aunt and uncle over at the house because they had furniture that they were going to pick up. And I went to just basically gather stuff together, put everything that I needed to move in one room and again, figure out how I was going to do that. And so of course, I didn't know. And that was my I don't know surrender. I don't know how the bed, this massive rug, and other furniture were going to be moved to my house. I don't know. So I just let that go. And it was interesting because Wednesday morning, when I woke up to go meet them, I just had this little tap on my shoulder. This little thing just came flying into my head, reminding me that my friend who does my hair told me a few months ago about a service that does small moves. So I texted her at like 5 in the morning. She texted me right back with the information. It's, if anyone's interested, this is a company called book.dolly, DOLLY.com. Dolly like dollies that move furniture. And it's really cool. You get on the website, you write down what you need to have moved, or you input what you need to have moved. If you think you need one helper, or if you can help someone, or if you need two helpers, what size of truck you think you need, and you get a price. And then, so I went through and I wrote all that down, and I got there and I picked up the other things that I could put in my car, and my aunt and uncle took what they could. But they decided, my mother had a small bedroom set, and they decided to take that. So they had to come back. I ended up booking my move for Monday and at 10:30. And that happened to be the only day that my aunt and uncle could come back from Buena Vista. Now, my aunt and uncle drove about 2.5 hours between where they live and my mom's house. So they came back on Monday, and they had borrowed my other aunt's truck. Now, they have a truck, but it was hot, and their truck, the air conditioning wasn't working great. It's older. So they borrowed my Aunt Marilyn's truck, and they brought it, but it had a short bed. It doesn't have, it's a pretty little truck, but it has a short bed. So they came back, and everything went really smoothly. My guys showed up. You know, they kept in contact with me saying they were finished. They were running just a little bit late, which was fine, because while I was waiting for them, I was helping my aunt and uncle get stuff together and pack it in their truck. But what they were taking back was a full size bed, a mattress, box springs, headboard, footboard, and a dresser. So, as I said, while I waited for my movers to come, I helped them pack as much as they could and helped my uncle, you know, helped him tie stuff down in the back of the car. Plus, they were worried about rain, because where they were going to is in the mountains. And so the weather, you know, kind of rains in spots as they were going. So wanted to make sure everything was covered up. So they packed that up. My movers came here, and you know, by about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, my guest room had all its furniture in it, all of it. So, you know, in less than a week from the time I'm thinking, how is this going to happen? Here it is. So it was just perfect. I mean, everything was just falling into place. My aunt and uncle, this is the amazing part of this story. They drove back home with that load. They rested. They returned my Aunt Marilyn's truck to her. She lives about 20 miles away from them. Got back and drove their car back, their truck back that day. So they got home, rested, had dinner, came back to Denver that night. And I met them back at my mom's house about 8 o'clock at night. Because they had the keys, and I wanted to help them get what felt like a 500-pound rug into their truck. These rugs, one, they were identical. One was in the living room, one was in the dining room. And to give you an idea of how big they are, the bed that I brought home is a queen-size bed, and there's probably a foot and a half of rug. It's in the middle of the rug on either side still. So, and they are so thick and so heavy, it took two big burly guys to carry that rug into my house. So here, like I always say, I exaggerate and say I'm 5'3", and my aunt is about my height, and my uncle is really, really strong guy. But to get this rug, I don't know how we were going to do it. It was rolled up, but it was in the dining room. So the dining room, then there's a doorway to the kitchen, and then the garage doorway. So my uncle had a plan. He had a plan. So they brought a bunch of plastic wrap. We wrapped the rug in the plastic wrap and taped down the ends, and he brought a rope, and he put a rope around it, and he pulled it through the kitchen as my aunt and I were pushing it, and he got it all the way out into the garage. We put another plastic down on the garage floor, and he got it onto that. And again, we just made sure it was all taped together. So then we had to get it up into the bed of the truck. I mean, I don't know how much this rug weighs, but it truly did feel like it was like 500 pounds. We're pushing it, he's pulling it, and I'm trying to remember. He got part of it up. I think all three of us got the end of it, or he and I got the end of it at while my aunt pushed, and we got it up enough onto the tailgate of the truck to so that it wouldn't fall off. I mean, it was, enough of it was up there to work with getting it on completely. So then, the next thing we see, my uncle grabs a folding chair, puts it by the tailgate, gets up on the folding chair, gets up on the bed of the truck, and we're just, my aunt and I are both mortified, watching him up there. So he got up there again, got the rope on the rug, and pulled it into the bed of the truck. So then there was still some hanging off because it was longer than the bed of the truck. So I got up there, I'm pulling while he, the strongest one in the room, was pushing it on. And we managed to get it on, and he could close the gate, which kind of folded the end up and over. But I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing. And it was funny. It was just really funny, the three of us trying to get that rug on there, into that truck. But he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing, and it worked. So after the rug was up, loaded up, and they had some other things, some garden fence stuff and just some other stuff that they put in there, they followed me back to my house, and we loaded up an antique commode, a piece of furniture that was in my mom's house, but it made its way here right after she passed away for safekeeping here. And then when the furniture came from my guest room, that commode had to go home. Need to go back to its home. And my aunt or my cousin just lives like up the road from them in Buena Vista. So they came here, we loaded up that commode, Clarence and I got it in the bed of the truck and tied it down, and we covered it in plastic, and they were off back to Buena Vista at about 9:30 that night. And my aunt and I told them, I said, I have a guest room. I have a guest room now. I can put sheets on that bed and we're good. And they said, but my uncle had appointments the next day. He had a doctor's appointment the next day, so they couldn't stay. But he likes to drive at night. And all through the day, I'm checking on him. Are you okay? Are you doing okay? Because he just works. He carries heavy things. He puts them up, into a truck. He does all this stuff, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm fine." And anyway, my aunt texted me at 12:22 that morning and said they were home. At midnight, that they'd made it home, and they're just amazing. And the most amazing thing about it is he's 80 years old, and she's 77. And he just lives. He just does. He's a perfect example of someone who does what's in front of him, figures out how to do it, never complains, just does it and gets it done. And he worked, he did the lion's share because we couldn't. We literally couldn't. We did the best we could to help. But honestly, we worked so hard. But we laughed as hard as we worked because it was fun and it was funny. You know, if anybody was watching that whole scene, they got it. They certainly should have gotten a laugh out of it. But as I said, my Uncle Clarence is big and strong, and he has the mind of MacGyver. You know, he's going to figure out how things fit. He can pack that truck. He can get more stuff in the bed of a truck because he just puts it in like a puzzle. You know, he figures it out ahead of time, puts it in, and everything works, everything fits. And actually, I think Clarence probably could have taught MacGyver a thing or two. But what a, you know, God bless him. God bless him. And what's really cool is he's off with his, he has a brother who is much younger than he is. And Phil was 7 when their dad died. And my uncle, I don't know how old Phil is now, but my uncle just kind of took over, you know, and Phil calls him his angel. But he's off on, they're off on a fishing trip in not Oregon. Oh, I can't think of the name of the state. Anyway, up there, you know, northwest. So they're going to have a really lovely time. His birthday was actually, I think, Sunday. So it was something. It was just something. It's like, bam, this is what you're doing. Bam, this is how it's going to get done. Bam, it's done. And like watching the whole thing happen. And it was just great. But honestly, it took me the next day to get past it. You know, not just the physical pain in my neck and shoulders, but it was emotional as well. You know, moving my mother's things out of her home hit me kind of unexpectedly. So, you know, I let myself have the day, and that helped. You know, just needed to have the day to breathe and let it all process through. But the guest room is absolutely beautiful, and it honors both my mom and Shannon. Their art is up on the walls, and her furniture and his beautiful bookcase, and the room is just peaceful, peaceful. And it will be used in about a week. So I'm really, really excited about that. And I don't know why, I just had to tell that crazy story because it was just amazing. So I hope you found it amusing. But how are you, CA?
Amused. Is funny, but it actually what it was bringing up for me is a little anxiety because I certainly have done things in the past where that's it. I'm going to move this no matter what, or I'm going to get this up, or I'm going to get it down, and then gotten stuck. Do you know what I mean? In fact,
Oh, I do.
I once tried to move a bed by myself that was only a double bed, but it was a wicker frame that was all one piece.
Oh.
So it would be what would be considered a platform bed.
Right.
And it's very, very heavy. But I was determined to flip this bed up so that I could sweep, you know, underneath. And there were some other things going on. So I said, I want to look underneath that bed. I was having an issue with every morning I woke up and there were wasps in my room.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I'm just, I mean, I woke up one morning and
Oh,
literally,
that's
and I
stinky.
kind of, I sleep on my back and I just, and people say you look like a corpse because I sleep on my back and my hands are just like on the, you know, cover. And my sisters have always said that, you look like you're dead, you know, and I go, well, just the way I sleep, what can I do? Anyway, and one morning I woke up and there were like 7 wasps just like crawling on my hands and on the cover. And
Oh.
I had just tried everything I could think of. Where are they coming from? Where are they coming from? And so I became obsessed with they've got to be under the bed. You know, this wooden frame, somehow they've gotten, and I knew there was space under there. So I thought, you know, they have gotten under there and built a nest or something's going on. So I became obsessed with doing that. I was able to, and like I said, I should have waited for somebody, but I didn't. And I didn't have a cell phone with me, but I tipped that bed up so that I could look underneath. Well, it was too heavy for me to hold. So then I mean, it didn't hurt the wall, but it kind of came resting against the wall. But unfortunately, I was between it and the wall. And I literally am there going, okay, what are you going to do now? And I remember going, you know, how long is it going to be before somebody finds you here? Trapped between the wall and this bed. And, you know, of course, it was one more of those times of like, you just had to do this now, didn't you? You know, you just had to push, 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 push. You know, Mars in Aries. And so that's what I was thinking. When you started telling those stories, I'm like, oh no, is it going to be one of those? Some, you know, because I've done several things like that, which I will admit, all of them have turned out okay, but they could have been really, they could have been pretty tragic.
Yeah.
So that's what I was thinking as you kept going. I'm going, oh no, oh no, what's going to happen? What's
oh
gonna
no
happen?
No! Oh, it wasn't a bad story. It was
no,
just
it
a
wasn't.
Crazy
but I did
story.
Know.
Oh, I know, I know. Well, and just you know, to sit there and watch everything happen, and then get back here and go, wow, did that just happen?
Yes.
No, it was just it was just crazy, absolutely crazy. And the two of them, you know, making well over 8 hours driving in one day, you know, just to get the stuff out. Well, and he was going to be gone, so they had to come back that night. But I mean, they just amaze me.
Yes.
You know,
I know. Actually, that's the other thing I was thinking is I'm such a wimp, you know.
Yeah.
I have become physically, I think, somewhat of a wimp going, oh, no, I can't do that. Can't do it. Can't do it. And I used to be that go-getter like him. Like, you know, yeah, we're going to get this done. And I thought, man, she's lucky to have them in her life. And
oh,
we all are. We all have those people who are the go-getters. And, you know, sometimes that is how life works. It's like people fill in the pieces. You know, sometimes we're the go-getter and pushing or being there for somebody else. And other times when we need it, when we're falling back a little bit, they're there for us, like a jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
You know, that we're filling in the pieces as, you know, as we relate to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're just, you know, they just help. You know, they help people. That's what they do.
Yes.
And but the way he's so funny. It's like, okay, whatever's in front of him, he just goes, does, focuses. And I really admire that because I know that space. You know, when I can do that, when I'm in that space, that's a very productive space.
Yes.
Because it's like you have help, you know.
Yeah.
This is what I need to be at. This is what needs to be done right now. I know it. So whatever it is that I need to know or do shows up in that moment. But it was just really amazing.
Yes. Well, and you know, when you say things showing up when you need it, I mean, that's true too, in terms of there have been times in my life when I pushed way, way too hard, but it was, in most of those cases, it was when, well, I'll just say it, you know, when a family member had some kind of a medical issue and, or something happened and you have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and drive to the hospital or whatever it is. And there were times when afterwards I said, how did you do that? You know, how did you do that? And it's like, you know, I just did it because I needed to do it. And quite frankly, I've been doing a lot of that lately. I mean, not poor me, but I mean, truly getting old is no piece of cake. And
yeah.
I've got this family that we have always been really, really healthy. But now that people are aging, it's like unbelievable. So anyway, but sometimes I'm just like, okay, yesterday you went to that hospital. Tomorrow you go to these two hospitals. And then the next day you go to the fourth hospital, you
know,
and we're all taking turns doing that. And then sometimes I'm sitting, I'm like, how did you even do that? How did you get the physical strength to just keep moving, keep moving, keep moving? But I recognize because I needed to. You know, there is something about I could do it and I could make myself do it. Whereas if it was something that wasn't quite as important, I'd just be going, nah, I'm going to sit here on the couch. It is too hot. I'm not going to go out there and drive around. I am not going to go try to get a parking space or walk 4 blocks in the heat. I'm just not going to do it. But oftentimes we just do what we need to do. But it would also say to people, along those lines, you also have to know your limits. And I tell this story too, because in some ways it was kind of funny. It's when I was taking care of a younger family member who was dying of cancer. And so I was pretty much a main caretaker for him because his mother had passed. And so, and like I said, he was relatively young in terms of, you know, I mean, especially compared to me, he was my nephew. And so I was at the hospital almost every single day. And, you know, or we were in and out of the hospital. And sometimes we went to specialty hospitals in other states and that kind of thing. So it was, you know, it was pretty whatever. But anyway, yeah. I'd already been at the hospital all day long and had come home like 7 or 8 o'clock and had kind of taken a shower and decompressed for an hour or an hour and a half. When I get a call, you've got to come back. And so I just sat there and I really just kind of assessed. I said, I don't have it in me. I to make the drive. That's what I didn't have in me. And I thought, you know what? You're not a safe driver. And so I called, that's what I assessed. You're not a safe driver. So I called my niece, who was also, by the way, kind of was on this journey with me. And I said, I need to go back to the hospital, but I just can't drive. Can you drive me? Because she lived relatively close. And she goes, I just did a double shift at work. She goes, I can't drive you. And I said, okay, that's really all right. I'm just going to call an Uber and I'll take an Uber to the hospital, which I had done before. And so she goes, okay, well, will you pick me up on the way? And I said, that's why it's kind of funny. She goes, I want to be there for him. I just can't drive. And so I literally called the Uber and said, hey, we need to make a stop. We picked her up and we went to the hospital, you know? Yeah. And but I still think, in a sense, it was kind of funny because she's like, okay, will you pick me up too? You know?
Well, your heart was there. Your body was just like, I can't, you know, your mind, when you're beat, you're just beat.
And and see, that's part of it too, is you push yourself, and we can push ourselves through things that ordinarily we can't, but you also can't live on adrenaline.
Right.
And knowing
you're going to crash.
Yeah. Knowing when it might be smart to call in help, even if that help is like an Uber. Going, yes, right. I can be there for them, but driving on the highway right now for 20 minutes is probably not the smartest idea, especially because you're worried. You know, you've just got to call. You've got to come back. So your mind isn't exactly on the other lanes of traffic either. So, you know, just kind of knowing that. But there again, thank goodness for Uber.
Exactly. Well, and I think, you know, those kinds of situations, when you just get that, I don't know, just the support that you need, it's because you don't have a choice. You know, you just don't have a choice. This is something you have to do, and it's one foot in front of the other, and you go. And if you need somebody to drive you, that's terrific. You just do it. But yeah, it's just, I think it's grace. That's what I think it is.
Yes, I think that's a good word. And I'm going to introduce something from A Course in Miracles. And it's actually, if you know A Course in Miracles, this isn't an accurate analogy. It truly isn't. But there's a line that says, see a problem as it is and not as you've set it up. Mm-hmm. And like I said, there's a lot more metaphysical kind of spiritual background to that. So anybody who studies A Course in Miracles goes, well, that's not a good analogy, CA. Why'd you bring that up? But, you know, even if you take it at just face value, so often, once again, we see a problem that we've set it up a certain way. Oh, well, I have to get dressed and I have to get in my car and I have to go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. No, that's not true. Mm-hmm. You want to be at the hospital. That's your goal. And so setting it up like all these things have to fall in place a certain way, it's like, no, they actually don't. Now, you do have to get dressed. You know, you can't go to the hospital in your pajamas probably, but no, I didn't need to drive myself to the hospital. And so sometimes, you know, like I said, even if you take that statement kind of out of context of A Course in Miracles and just at face value, see a problem as it is and not as you've set it up. Because we set up all these little contingencies. I mean, talk about contingency. Yeah. It's got to work this way, got to be this timing, whatever. And that sometimes really limits our ability to be creative or the ability to take advantage of grace when it comes. Like, there is another alternative that you haven't thought of or that you haven't considered yet. So, you know, just getting sometimes our intentions or our goals down to bare bones. Mm-hmm. And because I do that all the time, Kelly. I mean, sometimes I'm just like, okay, I can't make the cookies because there is no butter. There's not, you know, and it's like, well, who said you had to make that recipe? I mean, and sometimes I just stop myself in my tracks and go, oh yeah, oh yeah. You know? And, you know, or maybe you could rearrange a schedule a little bit, or, you know, maybe you could even call and have it delivered. I mean, you know, just all the ways we set a problem up. It's got to work this way. And it's like, no, maybe it doesn't. And that's where A Course in Miracles is also so helpful, in there just drilling into our minds that idea of, maybe you've got this wrong. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's different. Maybe there's another way to look at it. And just to even take that frame of mind, maybe there's another way of looking at this. Because I never used to think that way at all. I mean, I really didn't. It's like, I got this all straight. You know, it's like, nope, you really don't. And being able to ease into that idea of, okay, maybe you're wrong about this. Maybe there's another way to do it. And that would have been so, so difficult for me. I mean, and I'm not saying it still isn't, but, you know, when you look at, here again, our basic personalities, whether you want to look at the Enneagram or astrology or Tarot or any kind of classification system, maybe numerology, and you go, well, I am this way because this is how I am. And yeah, that's it. I like to control things. Mm-hmm. I do. I'm the Catholic school kid, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like to control things. And so, but what if there's another way to look at this? And see, that would have been such a threatening idea many, many years ago. That's it. That in itself would have been so incredibly threatening to me. Mm-hmm. Whereas now it's like, okay. Or even just saying, you made a mistake. Or
I don't
know. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Those are my three magic words, CA. I don't know. And the weight falls off my back. It's like, I don't know, but that which lives me does. And I'm taking a step backwards. And things happen. Answers show up. I mean, it's the coolest thing I ever learned.
It is. And you know, and that's a theme of this show, really. You said it once or twice when you were talking, and, you know, I don't know. And that doesn't have to be a threatening statement.
No.
And yet, but I mean, I'm just saying, so many of us, we're afraid to say that. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the minute we do, it allows for grace.
It does. It gets out of the way. You get out of the way when you do that. And it's funny, because I had a reading with a client in person that I hadn't seen in about a year, and she's really neat, but she was just talking about how she just has to control everything. And if, you know, if something needs to be done, well, I guess I'll do that. You know, well, I'll do that. She just is constantly doing that. And she's just a sweetheart. But I mentioned that to her. I said, you know, you can just, you know, when you say surrender it, well, saying I don't know is a surrender.
Absolutely.
And for me, it comes from a place of, I need help because I don't know. So, you know, here, I'm out of the way. Show me what it is. Show me what to do. You know, and then things come, like the name of that company. And, you know, I mean, it just, answers come. And we just had the best discussion about that. She goes, boy, I'm gonna have to work on that, because, you know, I don't like to say I don't know.
No, I don't either.
And I said, but don't think of it as, you know, when in that context, what she was saying, if I can put it into words, it's like, it's not the same thing. I don't have an answer, you know, for someone. I can't, you know, I should have an answer. I should know how to do this. I should know, I should have done my research. And then comes a lot of self-judgment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know. And that's just not what this is. This is just, I don't know, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that which lives me is God. And so I'm God's responsibility.
Well, I'm not sure I'd go that far.
But But I mean, you can play with it.
I understand where you're going. And actually, what I was thinking before you said that is, I think the other thing about saying I don't know is not an abdication of responsibility. It's not like you showed up to the house and you said, I don't know how this is going to get moved. You guys figure it out.
Oh, right.
You know, that is a different story when people want to go, I don't know. And what they're really saying is, I'm not going to figure it out either.
Yeah,
saying
I don't,
I don't
do
know.
It.
Yeah. Saying I don't know in the spiritual or the surrender state that you're talking about is completely different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I told a story, so I won't tell all the details now. But one of the ways I learned that just so seared into my brain is I bought a bunch of office furniture years ago. And it was from, you know, I don't remember now the name of it, you know, Scandinavian design.
So, oh, I love that place.
Yeah, I do too. And I'm sitting here right now with the same desk, all the same furniture. I love it. But you have to put it together. Yeah. And you don't put it together with nail. I mean, there's a few screws maybe, but it's mostly wooden pegs and all this stuff. And a lot of it, I'm not going to say it's intuitively obvious, but it's kind of obvious. But the piece that I had a problem with, I had somebody help me like for most of the day because it was, you know, a whole office suite of furniture.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And you had seen my office before with the table and, you know, all the bookshelves and everything. Well, I also bought a filing cabinet. And as you can imagine, the filing cabinet was trickier because it had drawers that slide in and out and a file drawer, etc. Well, anyway, so towards the end of the day, or, you know, at least by noon, my help had left, but we had put together all the pieces except the filing cabinet. And I thought, oh, surely I can figure this out. Well, 5 hours later, I mean, it was dinner time and I am almost in tears. I am just crying. You know, I am just like so frustrated because I've done it twice wrong. You know, and it's like, for the life of me, and maybe it's a lack of geometry. I don't know. I'm an astrologer. I know geometry, but it's sort of like the pictures, you know, because it's all pictures.
Yeah.
I could not see it. I couldn't translate the pictures into this thing. So finally, I just walked into the kitchen and I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe I need to call somebody. But I just said, I don't know how to put this thing together. And I just need to take a break. So about 10 minutes later, I walked back in the office and I said, okay, if you knew how to put this together, what would you do?
Perfect.
I did. I mean, because I had heard that from Edwin Gaines, you know, something very similar. So if I did know the answer, what would it be? And I sat down there and put it together in 30 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh my God, where'd that come from?
Uh-huh.
Where did
well,
it
you
come?
Detached.
Yeah. And that's it. Like, I don't have the faintest idea how to put this together, but I'm going to pretend that I do. If you knew, what would you do?
Oh,
and
that's
you know,
great.
Sometimes I think we can do that. Like, especially if we're in a situation where we really do have to take action and we don't know what to do, then just say, okay, I'm going to pretend. If I knew the answer, what would I do? And just start moving and see what happens. And you know, it works a lot of the time.
Well, it does. It does. Well, and that was just like, you know, a textbook example of detaching. You know, you went in the other room, you shifted your thought, basically your energy. And it, you know, because you were, when you're so frustrated and you're trying to get something done and you can't get it done, you're just hanging on for dear life, right?
Yes.
You're all over it.
Well, and there again, setting the problem up as you want it. I mean, I obviously had this preset idea of this is how the door has to work. So I couldn't see how it really worked. You know, I was seeing the problem as I set it up and not as it really was. And I couldn't get that out of my head. I couldn't see it. I kept looking at it going, this track has to run this way. It has to run this way. Well, it didn't, Kelly. engineer, I am not.
right. Well, I was trying to figure out another, you know, another space problem, or you know, just solve a space problem. In my guest room is a big closet, like a storage closet, and you know what happens in storage closets? Stuff just gets put in there, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It becomes the black hole for everything that doesn't have a home. So there was a big red toolbox, a bunch of Channon's tools, another box in there that just had random screws and fasteners and stuff. And random, or Shannon was really famous for every time he did a project, he'd go buy a tool and then he'd just toss it in the shed. So there are multiples, you know, I haven't even been in the shed yet, but Scott will do, you know, Scott, Kristen's cousin, helps me a lot. And so he'll go in the shed and he can pretty much find what he needs. And he's got a lot of stuff. So I just texted him and I said, can you know, you're welcome to these tools. I have what I need. I have screwdrivers. I have a hammer. I have stuff to hang pictures. I have stuff that I would need, just everyday tools. I just need a wrench. So he gave me a couple of his wrenches and he took all the other stuff. And so I'm trying to figure out where to put like my gardening stuff, because I don't have a garage. I just have a driveway. And then we have a little shed.
Right.
Yeah, we have a little shed back there. But it's pretty much, I don't know, it needs some attention and to be organized, which I don't think it will take long, but he said he would help me with that. But anyway, so I've got my gardening tools and I kind of keep them in my laundry closet. And then I take them out and I've been working on working on my beds and stuff every weekend. And that makes me really happy. So I'm thinking, where do I, if I clean out that, because I needed to get the storage closet clean because I also got a rollaway bed.
Oh.
So I've got an extra bed for the guest room and it needed to go somewhere. So, you know, just trying to make space. So I'm walking in here and here I get another little tap on my shoulder and says, why don't you buy a deck bench, you know, or a deck box?
Right.
And I went, oh, so go on Wayfair. I bought a deck box, got it for like $90. It's just great. It's perfect. I can put all my gardening stuff in it and, you know, it'll be great. And with room to spare. And so anyway, it says easy assembly. So famous last words. Yeah,
famous last words.
So I get it. I open it up. I was doing some gardening on Saturday morning, pulled some weeds, and it's like, I'm going to put my deck box together because then I can put my gardening stuff in it. And I get it pulled apart, and it just snaps together. You know, it's plastic. It's a hard plastic. And the first thing, I'm looking for the instructions because it doesn't, it's like, how do you do this? And it's only like five pieces. It's a bottom, two sides, and the the three sides of the box and the lid. So the first thing it says on the instructions is you need two people and a rubber mallet.
Yes.
Went, shit. So
yeah, that's pretty much it.
So I texted Scott and I thought, well, you know, thought I could do it, but not. So he'll come over and I said, I'm sure this is like going to take you and I 20 minutes at the most to put this thing together. But I just couldn't believe it. Two people in a rubber mallet.
Yeah. That sounds about right, though.
Just need to, you know, but everything, you know, all the big projects are really, truly winding down and that feels good. So if that's the last of it, I'm in good shape.
Good.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah.
And that must be nice to have some of your mom's furniture in your house. And
it is.
Yeah. And have a guest room.
Oh, it's really nice to, and it's beautiful. I'll send you pictures.
Okay. Yeah. And I was going to say, where is it? What room in the house is the guest room now?
It was Shannon's office at the end of the dining room.
Okay. I remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It used to be the garage. It was originally the garage for the house. And then when we moved in here, the houses on either side of this house were built on its property. So you could not use that as a garage.
Right.
There wasn't any room. You had to, it was like a circle drive into it.
Yeah, you think it would be hard to back out. Yep.
Yeah. So since the 60s, it hasn't been a garage, but it was Jared's bedroom and it's big. It's like 17.
I remember
it. 17 by 9. Room. And so the floor all got done in like the rest of the house with the vinyl plank and looks really, really nice. And then I got a really beautiful bookcase in there and put Shannon's books there. And so it's a nice blend. You know, I put up some of his photographs that are framed and another piece of art and got one of Mom's paintings that she'd done in 1968 that's really cool. And then a couple other pieces that she really liked. So it's nice and it's really peaceful. And I got a Jared said, that bed has the hardest mattress. It's like sleeping on cement. And I went, okay, I'm not buying a new mattress, so I'll get a mattress cover. So I find a mattress cover on Woot that's like a third of the price, a third of its original price. And it's a memory foam with cooling gel. It's 4 inches. You need a step stool to get on.
Yes.
Now, because the frame is kind of high, you know, it's a sleigh bed. It's really pretty, but it's like, oh, if he complains about that, I'm just gonna.
You know what? I don't think he will. Because I was going to say, you can put some of those memory foam, the better ones, you can put them on cement and they're comfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Really so, oh, he'll be, yeah. I think they'll be very happy. And how wonderful for them that they've got it for real guest room now.
Oh, yeah.
In your
exactly.
House. Yeah.
Nobody's been able to stay here in forever, you know?
Yeah.
Haven't had any guest room. So this is the real thing. And, you know, they have a door they can close and. It's good. But
that
anyway.
Yeah. We've got 1 minute to close the show. Do you realize
we
that?
We do. I know.
I know. I can't believe it. It went fast and lots of great stories. I hope people had a good time with us today. And
I do too.
Thank you for being here, everybody. And Kelly, thanks for inviting me.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for being with me. And what do you have going on?
The usual. Deciding which hospitals to go to this afternoon.
I know.
But fortunately, a couple people are now discharged, so it's more checking on them at home.
Oh, good.
And you know, not too many hospitals involved. But in any case, I've got some things going on this afternoon, some appointments, and I hope to be on One to Listen almost all day tomorrow.
Terrific.
Voice.
Terrific.
Kidding, but yeah, I'm better, and the smoke is clearing, and so yes, that's what I've got going.
That helps. You can breathe a little more. Good. 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 Well, yep, and I'm there. Every day. So, as I said at the beginning of the show, but thanks everyone for being here. I do hope you enjoyed our stories, and it was just kind of a different day, but fun. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. My special guest today was C.A. Brooks. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way that you listen to the world. And please, please have a very blessed week and stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Bye-bye.